Let's turn now in God's Word to the book of Nahum. That is one of the prophets near the end of the Old Testament. And Nahum chapter 3. In Nahum chapter 3, we'll be reading verses 1 through 19. Nahum chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. And beloved, these are the words of the living and true God. Woe to the bloody city, completely full of lies and pillage. Her prey never departs. The noise of the whip, the noise of the rattling of the wheel, galloping horses and bounding chariots, horsemen charging, swords flashing, spears gleaming, many slain. A mass of corpses and countless dead bodies. They stumble over the dead bodies. All because of the many harlotries of the harlot, the charming one, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations by her harlotries and families by her sorceries. Behold, I am against you, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will lift up your skirts over your face and show to the nations your nakedness and to the kingdoms your disgrace. I will throw filth on you and make you vile and set you up as a spectacle. And it will come about that all who see you will shrink from you and say, Nineveh is devastated. Who will grieve for her? Where will I seek comforters for you? Are you better than No-Aman, which was situated by the waters of the Nile? With water surrounding her, whose rampart was the sea, whose wall consisted of the sea? Ethiopia was her might, and Egypt too, without limits. Put and Lubim were among her helpers. Yet she became an exile. She went into captivity. Also her small children were dashed to pieces at the head of every street. They cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound with fetters. You too will become drunk. You will be hidden. You too will search for a refuge from the enemy. All your fortifications are fig trees with ripe fruit. When shaken, they fall into the eater's mouth. Behold, your people are women in your midst. The gates of your land are opened wide to your enemies. Fire consumes your gate bars. Draw for yourself water for the siege. Strengthen your fortifications. Go into the clay and tread the mortar. Take hold of the brick mold. There fire will consume you. A sword will cut you down. It will consume you as the locust does. Multiply yourself like the creeping locust. Multiply yourself like the swarming locust. You have increased your traders more than the stars of heaven. The creeping locust strips and flies away. Your guardsmen are like the swarming locust. Your marshals are like hordes of grasshoppers settling in the stone walls on a cold day. The sun rises and they flee, and the place where they are is not known. Your shepherds are sleeping, O king of Assyria. Your nobles are lying down. Your peoples are scattered on the mountains, and there is no one to regather them. There is no relief for your breakdown. Your wound is incurable. All who hear about you will clap their hands over you, for on whom has not your evil passed continually? Those are the words of our God. So we ask the question, what will happen? This is in the context of the whole book of Nahum, which is bringing a judgment against Nineveh, the Assyrian city, because of what they have done to Israel. And they took over Israel. They attacked Judah and Jerusalem, and they took the northern kingdom of Israel, remember, into exile. And so some years later, we ask the question, what will happen, as the prophet is talking about here, to Nineveh in this great destruction? Why has it come upon them? We know they've committed great sins, and some of those sins are talked about in our passage. Verse 1, it talks about murder. It's a bloody city. Verse 4, their whoredoms and their witchcrafts and sorceries. They have done these things against God. And so even pagan nations, pagan cities, we think worldly cities today, they of course break God's commandments. And they are going to be found guilty of them if they don't turn and repent of their sins. And then just generally at the verse 19, at the very end of 19, it says, of whom has not your evil passed continually? They're just generally evil. And it's gone before lots of people, lots of nations. So judgments are going to come against Nineveh, and you see described in verses 2 and 3, it says, the noise of the whip, the noise of the rattling of the wheel, galloping horses and bounding chariots, horsemen charging, swords flashing, etc. They're going to come, all those kinds of things, a war, a battle is going to come, an army is going to come against Nineveh, and they will be destroyed. And Yahweh, verse 5, will bring shame, disgrace upon the city, and they will be made a spectacle and have thrown on them what they show themselves to be. It talks about filth and vile, which you can imagine what that might be. And so will Nineveh be any better than other places and other people who have been judged by the Lord, where desolations and destructions have been brought? And he starts to describe those in verses 8 and following. Are they going to be any better than that? No. They're going to be destroyed just as bad as they were. And so all that they have from verse 12 on, all that they depend upon, all that they put their confidence in, it talks about, will be consumed with fire and the sword. And great destruction will come. And that will be the end of the Assyrian city, the great city of Nineveh. And so in this passage here, and in this book of Nahum, we are warned to put off the world, to put off our drawing confidence and depending upon the things of this world, and put our confidence in Christ and be satisfied in Christ alone, unless we be judged just like Nineveh here. But not just in the things that we find in this present world, but for all eternity. That's the warning that we have here. That's the warning that we find in all the prophets. Repent, lest God's judgments come against you. Let's pray to our God. Our gracious Father, you are indeed a gracious God, and you have shown that grace through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead to give us eternal life. We are thankful for your righteousness, which we will again investigate and think about in a few moments in Romans. We're thankful that you give this righteousness, you impute this righteousness, you credit this righteousness of yours to those who believe in you, whether Jew or Greek. And Father, we're thankful that you are a gracious God who, giving us Christ, you've also given us your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, in our hearts. And so we have God with us, Emmanuel, by your Spirit, who guides us and counsels us and directs us in our souls. And Father, we would plead that we would not grieve your Holy Spirit or quench the Spirit, but rather that we would honor you and honor the Spirit. And as the Spirit leads us, we would receive those leadings, and we would receive those groanings within our hearts, even as we pray now, that you would bless your people. Father, of believing in you, of pursuing sanctification and putting to death sin and putting on righteousness, we lean upon you alone in Christ by your Spirit. For we cannot believe of our own accord. We need your grace to be poured out upon us. And to continue believing, we need your Spirit, and continue to put to death the sin that remains and be clothed with your righteousness and grow in that righteousness. Father, we need your Spirit. And so we lean upon you alone. Not the things of this world. We do not depend upon the things of this world, whether money, as we've talked about in Sabbath school, money and property and riches and our homes and things like that, Father. We do not depend upon them, not even our jobs. We depend upon you alone. For you are our help. You are our provider as our King. You are our protector as our great King. And Father, we are satisfied. Make us to be satisfied in your Son, Jesus Christ, alone, and not the things of this world. Father, we're again thankful for the government you've given to us, because it is for our good. Though we might have many concerns and great struggles and considering our government, our governing authorities, from our local level all the way to the federal level, Father, we pray that you would save their souls, all who rule over us, that you would give us submissive hearts as you command us to be submissive to our governing authorities, as we are submissive to you, Lord. We ask that we would be submissive to you in all things, even in being submissive to our governments. We pray that you would make it easier for us to be submissive, and that they would rule in righteousness, according to your word, according to your law, that you would bless your people. You would give us freedom to worship according to your word. And Father, we pray that you would protect us from worshiping in accordance with the desires of men. Father, we could do many things in worship which would lead us to worship how we want to worship. We pray that you would bring us away from those things and cause us to worship you according to the way you want to be worshiped in accordance with your word. That you would be glorified in our worship as we continue now. Father, we pray for one who has gone out from us in a good way and moving, Mary Ashley. We pray that you would bless her as she has moved for a new job, and ask that you would grant to her a good church in which she desires to join. We pray that that transfer to that church would come about smoothly and well, and that church would be a good fit for her, and that and they would be preaching and faithfully ministering the gospel in that place. Father, we do pray for the Shawnee Church here local to us. We pray that you would bless them and bring to them a pastor who preaches your word faithfully and ministers there with that congregation. We pray that you would bring that about quickly, as they've been a while now without a regular pastor. We ask that you would bring that about, because we know it's not good for a church to be without a regular minister. And so, Father, we pray that you would bless them in that and in their endeavors seeking a pastor. And Father, we pray that one of their candidates, for one of them who recently lost a child, we ask that you would uplift that family, who are our brothers and sister in Christ, and together with their children and their family. We pray that you would strengthen them in their hearts and in their being satisfied in you alone, and with great comfort, the comfort that comes from your Holy Spirit. Bless them, Father. And as we continue in worship now, we ask that you would give us hearts that love to worship you and have great zeal and passion, even to sing your praises and to receive your word. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.